Hello there. Thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined this week by Paul Keighley and David Jennings, plus Paddy Powers, James Ryan, to bring you the best betting advice on a fantastic weekend for Jumps fans. There's no flat racing, unfortunately. There was a deluge at Doncaster yesterday, so that is off. No November handicap. So it's Jump Racing all the way with Aintree and Wincanton, the featured ITV4 meetings. And there's some great stuff on Sunday, including some big names, including racing, Jump Racing royalty in the form of Apple's Jade. Before we start, though, this is Responsible Gambling Week. Paddy Power and the Racing Post fully support this. And there is a lot of content on the Racing Post website and all our social media channels if you want to check that out. The main message being, please bet responsibly, however strongly Paul Keighley fancies one. Okay, Keels, let's do a quick weather watch. Like I say, up north, it's been very grim, hasn't it? So what ground conditions are we dealing with?
Well, it's good at Wincanton. It's going to rain there tomorrow. It's also going to rain at Aintree, where it's very soft. There won't be any fences taken out by the looks of it. It's going to be cloudy everywhere, which is good.
No sun rather than low sun.
No sun. It's always good for jump racing, isn't it?
Over in Ireland, it's been chucking it down, hasn't it, DJ?
Oh, yeah, it's been a desperate week. Wednesday and Thursday was as bad a day as I can remember here in a long, long time.
Okie dokes. Right then, let's get stuck into the Wincanton races. Starting with 150, it's the Richard Barber Memorial Handicap Hurdle for mares over 2 mile, 5.5 furlongs, 15 runners, but the normal groan that goes up when there's a 15-runner handicap, we're not too bad, James, are we? Because you're going four places, aren't you?
Yeah, we are indeed. And we're also going money back if you're second, third and fourth for a tenner as well. So that's a pretty good deal. So Dance Idol is the 4-1 favourite, followed by Deputy's Oscar at 6-1, Organdi 7-1, Empriente Ricone 7-1, Midnight Referendum 7-1 and 8-1 bar.
Keels, you can lead on. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, it's obviously starting with a very, very competitive race. Obviously, you have to respect Paul Nicholls at Wincanton, especially this meeting, because he farms races there. Dance Idol, she's had a wind up. Not sure that she's got the form to be a 4-1 shot, but as I said, she's got to be respected. But I like Alan King's Midnight Referendum. Good bumper horse, finished second in Grade 2 to Getaway Katie May at Aintree a couple of seasons ago. Won really nicely first time out of her hurdles and then sort of went off the boil. Just wasn't finishing her races. So she got a wind up, came back out and absolutely bolted up on a final start last season. Went up £7 for that. She's bred for further. She'll like the rain that's coming. Alan King's got his string in reasonable nick. I think there's plenty. She's got an awful lot going for her. She was beaten 7.5 lengths by Organdi when she was out of form. She's £17 better off for that. I mean, obviously, Organdi's improved as well. But I think she's a six-year-old. She's on a very low weight. And if she picks up where she left off, she'll go close.
And remind everyone what the riding arrangements are with Alan King. Brilliant Wayne Hutchins.
I used to love Hutchins. And I'm very surprised about that one. But Tom Cannon's been doing a good job, hasn't he? So no problems with him on board.
DJ, are you in confident form overall going into the weekend?
Yeah, I had a bit of a blow. There's a horse running later on in the card that we'll talk about, but I had my heart set on him for the Beth Victor Gold Cup next weekend. So it's gut-wrenching to see him declared tomorrow, but we'll talk about him later. But yeah, I like the card at Wincanton. There's a lot of shorties, though. In this race here, I had it narrowed down to two, and one of them was Midnight Referendum. If you go back to her bumper second to Getaway Katie May at Aintree, like the likes of Build Me Up Buttercup was fifth, like, and Posh Trish was in there. It was a decent bumper, as you would expect. And I just don't think we've seen the best of her yet. So I can certainly see where Keels is coming from with Midnight Referendum. The one I like, though, and I think it's been overpriced all week, is Dulhallo Gesture, who I think didn't enjoy jumping fences at all on a three appearance at Worcester. Was only 7-2 that day. It was a reasonably short price, considering If You Say Run was in there. It was a decent enough race. But it's had a wind up, so second run after a wind up. Wouldn't be judging it by its run over fences at Worcester. Go back to last season, I thought it was won reasonably well off marks, 124 and 123 at Taunton and Fontwell. And I thought this type of test on a track like Wincanton could be her cup of tea. So tentative enough vote for Dulhallo Gesture over Midnight Referendum.
And James, kick us off with a winner.
Yeah, no, I like Literal C here for Harry Fry. Since he started training in 2012, he's never had a November with a strike rate of less than 24%. So he often has his horses fairly ready to go at this time of year. This mare comes into this off the back of an impressive chase win, obviously back to hurdles here. when she beat the 142 rate at Southfield Stone and 147 rate at the Mighty Don. She goes on this ground, even if it don't get too much rain. And Anya has four wins from eight rides on the mare, so knows it pretty well, and taking that that £5 off. And like, she's 16-1, which I think is a big price with those four places as well. So I think she should run well.
Excellent. Right, the 225. DJ mentioned there's a few shorties on the card today, and the first of those is coming up in this race. It's the John Romans Park Holmes Rising Stars Novices Chase, over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, and Reserve Tank dominates the market, doesn't he, James?
He does indeed. He's our 4-5 favourite, followed by If You Say Run at 11-4, Solomon Gray 7-1, Lemuse 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Kiel, DJ, we'll start with you, actually. That race at Chepstow that Reserve Tank ran in was a real peculiar race, wasn't it? Did you see enough there to make him a worthy odds-on favourite here?
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly there. Peculiar would be the word I'd use, because I thought maybe 3 out we could be seeing something special with Reserve Tank. And then it was really, really worrying just how weakly and tamely he finished the race. I actually did the big read for Sunday's paper with Robbie Power, so I was out in the house on Monday night. And we spoke quite a bit about Reserve Tank, and his main concern is ground. He said it's all about ground for Reserve Tank. He needs good ground, has to have it, he thought. Just the ground was probably a little bit too soft at Chepstow. And if they do, I know it's obviously good ground there at the moment, but if they do get those couple of mils of rain, it will soften it a little bit. I think it could leave him vulnerable stamina-wise as well. To be honest, at the prices, I think If You Say Run is a pretty viable alternative. I thought the jumping display at Worcester was really, really good, a proper natural. Again, the wind-up seems to have done the job. And given how much Paul Nicholls are improving for a run, I thought at the prices, If You Say Run was probably the one to side with here.
What are you going to do with this fav, James?
Yeah, I'm very similar to DJ here. I thought there was enough about Reserve Tank's chase debut there the last day that I didn't like, that I'm willing to take him on. I thought he hung a little bit left up the straight, and obviously he didn't jump the grade when they quickened as well, and then really didn't find a whole lot. So at the prices, I mean, he still has the most potential in the race to be a proper horse, especially if it's back to the good ground. But at the prices, very similar to DJ, I'd go for If You Say Run. She was, you know, pretty much foot perfect the last day and was only, you know, going further and further away at the line, had her wind tinkered over the summer, and you know, has gone well in this ground in the past if it is good ground, so she'd be the one I'll take here at 11-4.
Kiels, you don't normally need too many reasons to oppose an odds-on fav.
No,
what are you going
to
do with this one?
I think he's different class, to be honest. I really do. I mean, look, there were negatives to it. It was a bit of a funny race. That Jarvis plate who won it looked like the first one beaten and some way out. But the ground was soft. He largely jumped very well. He does have a funny way of carrying himself, head to one side sometimes. But I think he's a very talented horse, and far more talented than these, basically. If he jumps, and again, the ground, yeah, it might get 3 or 4 or 5 millimetres of rain, but it won't be as soft as it was at Chepstow. Well, you know, so I think it'll be absolutely fine. It'll be disappointing if he's not good enough to win.
OK, we move on to the 3 o'clock at Wincanton. It's the Unibet Elite Hurdle over just short of 2 miles. And the Champion Hurdle fourth favourite runs in this and dominates the market. James, how do you bet?
Yep, Fusil Raffles is our 1-2 favourite, followed by Grand Sansi 7-2, Beat the Judge 9-1, Brandon Castle 10s, Christopher Wood 10s, and 100-1 top eke.
James, you are running very scared of this because there's certainly bigger prices out there on the fav, but do you think he's home and hosed?
Yeah, we think he's pretty much home and hosed here. I think he looks a bit of a star in the making, you know, even looking back at that Adonis last year going right-handed. He just, you know, this good ground, I can't see too many negatives about him. He's real slick over his hurdles. I don't think there's a whole lot else in this race that can, you know, should be anywhere near the class of him. Obviously, Grand Sansi giving him the £3 as well because he's a 4-year-old. But, you know, I think he really could be a potential champion hurdle. And I just don't see anything else in this race being nearly within £10 of him come the end of the year. So he'll be very hard to beat.
Kiels, this is a race that tends to be won by horses that finish somewhere between 4th and 7th in the champion hurdle. What do you think will happen?
I think Fuser Raffles will probably be nearer 7th than 4th, to be honest. I don't rate last year's juvenile form that highly, for a start. Beat the Judge is nothing special. That's the horse to finish 2nd to him in the Don. It's okay, 9 lengths. He's only rated 135. And he was giving him £6 as well. Giving him £3, he's getting £3, so he's £6 better off for that.
Didn't you like the
Punchestown? The Punchestown run was okay, but it's nothing special. You know, in terms of juvenile form, I've seen far better juveniles in the last few years. So, you know, as well as he might be, he might turn out really good. I'm inclined to take him on. Grand Sansi took a heavy fall at Kempton, has to get over that. But he's a decent horse. Beat So Royal in the Kingwell last year. On this track, he likes a fast, a fast 2 mile. Like I said, Paul Nicholls horse is coming on tremendously for a run, which he's had. And yeah, at the prices, I think it's a no-brainer. You got to take him on 7-2 against 1-2. Even on Racing Post ratings, I think Racing Post ratings has him has gone essentially a couple of pounds ahead on what they've done. Obviously they're both still open to potential improvement. Fusil Raffles probably more, but like I said, I don't rate the 4-year-old form all that much, and I think it's one to take on.
James likes Fusil Raffles. Paul Keighley doesn't. What does David Jennings think?
Yeah, do you know what? When I seen the entries earlier on this week, I was thinking of taking on Fusil Raffles, and where Keels is coming from there with Grand Sansi, like the course form and beating Elder Horses last year when he beat Score Isle. But just, I don't know if any of you saw the interview with Daryl Jacob on Sky Sports Racing during the week, and it was really, really informative. Like, he said he even had to ask the stable lass what was this horse that he was getting on, because it said it looked in no way like the Fusil Raffles of last year. He just thought it had just grown up into a serious specimen of a horse, and he seemed to suggest, now jockeys are always extremely positive and it's foolish to be reading too much into it, but it was just how much he was focusing on how much Fusil Raffles had grown that interests me. I think he will be a pretty decent horse. There's not many good 2 mile hurdlers around, there really isn't. When you take out Classical Dream and Bouvard Air, like, we're pretty thin on the ground, and that's why he's Ford favourite. To be honest, I'd be bitterly disappointed if he didn't win this.
Okay, and the final race at Wincanton, 3:35, the Badger Beers Silver Trophy Handicap Chase. Always a great event, this, and we've got a potentially really, really good story with Briony Frost and Present Man going for the hat trick, and he's fairly prominent in the betting, isn't he, James?
He is indeed, and we're also 4 places in this race. But White Moon leads our market at 3-1. Present Man 9-2 is our second favourite. Give Me a Copper 11-2, Young Master 9-1, Justice Sting 9-1, Rock the Casbah 10-1, and 12-1 bar.
This is your sort of race, Kills, so come on, who wins?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you don't need, you know, it's very easy to take on a favourite that fell last time out, isn't it? I mean, White Moon did look like he was going to win. I actually backed him here last time, but when he fell at Cheltenham first time out last season, he went backwards afterwards, so you'd have to worry about that. Present Man, you cannot rule out. He's won the last two runnings. I think he's a £6 higher again than last year, or £4 higher. But he did win it with a fair bit of panache, and he just loves this time of year. He's only been beaten once, so he's got a shout. But I think the horse that was second last year in terms of price is just too big. Some Kind of King finished fourth last time out, you know, had a run with Tom George, who's got his string in really good nick as well, and I think at the prices, I'll take Some Kind of King. Likes it around there.
DJ, who do you like here?
I'm going to go with one of Keels' guilty pleasures, Give Me a Copper. I just think, I know he's 9 rising 10, and he's been bitterly disappointing. And obviously in the Ultimate, he was a bitter disappointment. But I think potentially he could be one of the better handicapped staying chasers in Britain. There's a couple of lines of form. Like, he started last season, I think, off 145. He's starting this season off 142. Like, he was 4th in the Whitbread, where I didn't think he jumped as well as he can. He can jump better. Just one or two of the railway fences he got wrong, and Talk Is Cheap was travelling much, much better. But I think this is the ideal race for him. Like, this season, I thought this was the race he was going to start in. Off a mark of 142, like, I always was convinced he was at least 150 rated chaser, the very least. Yes, he's been disappointing, but you know what, he hasn't had that many chances when you go through his form. Like, he's only ran 5 times over fences, which makes me think, give him another chance. This is his last chance now, but I think he is the best handicapped horse in the race, so Give Me a Copper for me.
Okay, James, who's your selection?
Yeah, going back to that, I suppose the Bet365 Gold Cup form, looking at the Young Master here, he's almost twice the price of Give Me a Copper, and you know, he had fairly easily beaten him in that race last year. He had a nice pipe opener on the flat there in October. You know, and he's started off his season well a good few times over the course of his career, and Sam Riley Cohn's taken off 3 pounds and has got on very well with him. He's been in really good form last year, and hopefully he can continue that into this year, and he goes on the ground, so he's the one that I'll go for at a bit of a price.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, gents. Let's do Aintree next.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. 1 per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at 3 ITV4 races from Aintree. Starting with 1:30. It's the Download the App at Virgin Bet. Handicap Chase is over 2 miles. And James, take it away with a show from Paddy Power.
Yep. Baby King is our favourite, 11-4. Charmander on 3-1, the last day 3-1. The Flying Portrait 6s, Wishful Dreaming 7s, Solar Impulse 9s and 14s bar.
DJ, do you think the last day is called Last Time Out in Britain?
that was quite good.
Oh, thanks. Who wins it?
I think the last day wins it. I think he does. I think he's still well handicapped off mark of 131. Like, when you go through his form from last season, like even the day he fell at Newbury behind Knock Na Noose, would have been second, which would have been a really good run and probably would have given him a mark in the mid 130s, I'd imagine. Then second to White Moon at Exeter. And I just think, when I looked at his run at Carlisle, it was on heavy ground. He just seemed to be really enjoying himself. And I like these Evan Williams kind of horses. They're not over-raced. And I think as they do get older, they do continue to progress. And to me, I know he's run off 131 now, but I think he has the potential to go higher than that. I think he can get to around 140. And this looks an ideal race. I think it's a good piece of placing by Evan Williams. I think he's a good jumper.
James, who's your selection going to be?
Yeah, I'm going for Solar Impulse here. I just think he's on a fairly competitive art. He's run well this season when second at Kempton last time out. A lot of these are having their reappearances and could be slightly on the rusty side or even not fully fit on that soft ground. So at 9-1, I'll take a chance on him.
Kills, you've been very subdued so far. Are you taking the responsible gambling week message?
They have a dodgepot, don't they? Wasn't Niall the other day with Maracuja, and now we've got Solar Impulse.
Not for you, no?
No, absolute dodge.
Who do you like?
The reason he's well handicapped. I mean, and I was looking at the last day, but he went up £3 for winning a race. He was perfectly entitled to win. He was getting £12 off a horse rated £5 below him. He might well be well handicapped. I looked at this race and I thought this has got upset written all over it. So I'm going to go proper left field. Horse right down the bottom, carrying Tenorstone 7, youngest, least inexperienced in the race. Shady Oaks spent all of last season running in races he couldn't really win, but actually put up some decent RPRs in the context of a handicap mark, which he earned of 129 and now has dropped to 120 for the start of this season. He's the rank outsider with a lot. Charles Pogson has booked Jamie Moore. Now, I can't remember Jamie Moore ever riding for him, but he's managed to tempt him up to Aintree for a single ride. And I think this is the absolute outsider. I might have a little tickle.
Right. What price is Shady Oaks again, James?
He's 16-1.
16-1. Excellent. 205 at Aintree is the Virgin Bet Handicap Chase. This is over 2 miles and half a furlong. James, give us a show of betting and then tell us who you think will win.
Yeah, Sea Page is our 7-2 favourite, followed by the Russian Dion 9-2, Riders in the Storm 11-2, Duke Street 6-1, Warsound 6-1, Old Grange Wood 6-1. I'm going for Riders in the Storm here. It's his first start for Nigel Twiston Davis at the bottom out of Tom Tass for £50,000 at the end of last season. He was thought of an awful lot last year. He was nearly the talking horse going into Cheltenham. But he needs to jump a lot better than he did. And obviously, Twiston Davis starts the season well, as he normally does. He's still arguably one of the most unexposed in this field. And I'd still just like to give him another chance and see how he does this season. So he's the one that I'm going to go for here.
Kills, before he gives your tip, you've got to sing Riders on the Storm.
Riders on the Storm.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Well done, mate.
You clicked that, didn't
you? I thought I'd go straight over your head. That was beautiful.
No, I got
it. You had such a lovely voice. Who's going to win this?
Right, yeah, I'm assuming Dave's big one is Seapars, who would have gone, would have had a fair chance in the BetVictor Gold Cup next week, given that he was second to Frodon last year. Of course, he's a worthy favourite. He's got top weight. He only managed one run last year, but it was a bloody good one. But I just think Old Grangewood's become very, very well handicapped for Dan Skelton. He said in his stable tour that he thinks the wind operation has worked and will help him get to back to where he was. Where he was is £11 higher than he is now. He's run some really nice races at Aintree, including third in the old Roan Chase a couple of years ago, off a mark of 147. He runs off 136. All ground seems to come alike. It'll be tested, and he stays further because he's been placed in the big Aintree handicap on Grand National Day over 3-mile-1. So I think he's got a fairly solid chance.
Is Kiel's right, DJ? Was Seapage the one you were looking at for next week?
Oh, he's right. Of course he's right. He knows me better than I know myself. This is so demoralizing. It was just such a waste of almost a full day during the week. So, I've told you before, I'm in this group with a couple of Liverpool fans, and every maybe 3 or 4 times a year, we have a right cut at one. So I love that race next week at Cheltenham. I absolutely love it. And went through the race and Seapage, everything seemed to stack up. Everything I went to, the fact that he was actually going to get his beloved soft ground, the fact that he had the Cheltenham form behind Frodon, he was a year older. I just thought off 147, a 20-1, he was a massive price. So at 10:30 this morning, you won't believe the messages I was getting on my phone. What's going on? This horse is running tomorrow. And I thought I had done my research and that he was going to show up at Cheltenham, but my research was wrong. He shows up here. I have no idea why. Obviously, it's a nice pot. It's 50 grand to the winner. I think he is the best horse in the race. Jumping is just a slight worry I have. He needs to jump a little bit better than he did against Frodon. But I still think he's only 7. Phoenicians, as they get older, they do jump better. And like 7-2 is probably not a great price, but I do think he's the most likely winner. Riders on the Storm was one of my leading fancies going into Cheltenham last year in the Close Brothers. He's by Scorpion, though, and he's extremely unpredictable. When he's good, he's really good. Now, he did need his run first time out last season for Tom Taff. Off 140, if he's on a going day, he's really well handicapped, but it'll be a case of probably watching CPAG bolt up and crying after the race, I'd imagine, Bruce.
Definitely no way he wins on the snaff tomorrow and then reappears next week.
Well, see, this is the thing, Bruce. I think he has to be fresh because all his best form is when off a long break. And I was loving the fact that they've just went for one race, the Betfictor Gold Cup, bang, here we go, big pot at Cheltenham, and now he's at Aintree. So, Venetia, if you're listening, oh.
That was your message to her, was it? Oh. She won't be listening.
That was a
anymore.
Moan. That was a moan.
Okay. 240 at Aintree's, the Potemps Network, brackets supporting BTRC, close brackets, handicap hurdle, over 3.5 miles a furlong. This will take some getting. Stamina-laden merchants only need apply. There are 8 runners, so we've got each-way potential. What's the latest betting, James?
Yes, Scandi Berg is our 11-4 favourite. Jack's Last Hope, 3-1. Dumonde de Motz, 4-1. Rosie World, 11-2. Vive Leroy, 7-1, 8-1 bar.
And it's with you, Kiehl's.
I'm surprised. I actually thought Diomed de Motz would be fav. Ran fourth in the Persian War last time, dropping back in trip, won over 3 miles the time before. But the one I actually like is Rosie World. I think, you know, this could well be the day for her. She's stepping up the 3 mile for the first time. When she made her debut in a bumper, she was backed at really big prices and finished ahead second to Build Me Up Buttercup at Ascot. Build Me Up Buttercup.
I remember that. Build Me Up Buttercup. I've got a feeling Nick Watts or someone put him up. It was a fantastic suss. Were you on that day, DJ? Someone sussed Rosie World. It might have been Wattsy and put the thing up, and they absolutely smashed it to smithereens just got beat.
Yeah, just got beat. She's well back to big
horse. It turns out to be a different class.
It turns out to be a good horse. And she's been building up to moving up the step and trip while she's sort of filled out and whatever. Her dam, who raced for Susie Smith, won a Potemps qualifier. We finished second in the Potemps final itself. And it's just all about them getting this mare up to 3 miles. She had a run 19 days ago, finished third, staying on late. Everything about her says she's going to improve out of all recognition. She's on a really low mark compared to what she's probably likely to go to. She's on 118, I think. I think her dam started off something similar and ended up nearly 150. I think she's got a big chance.
It'll take something special to convince me not to back Rosie World. Away you go, DJ.
Here you go. I fancy Rosie World. There you go. There's your reason not to bag it. I think I was on that day. And I think, if I remember correctly, that day at Ascot, I think Nicky Henderson had the favourite. I think Lust for Glory, I think, was third. And I think you've got the right horse. And like Heels, I think, crying out for a step up and trip. Unexposed, like 118. Like, this horse running Ascot bumper started even money for its second bumper. So obviously, you know, it's held in quite high regard. And you know, it's an ideal race because there's a couple of these in here, I think, with plenty to prove. And I think probably the one with most improvement for the step up and trip. So, yeah, I'm with Kiehl's as well, and you with Rosie World.
Are we getting 3 votes for Rosie World, James?
I'm afraid we're not. I'm going for Scandi Berg. Just thought he was very unlucky not to win 3 weeks ago at Market Raisin. I think the step up and trip will really suit him. He settled really well in his races. He's jumping pretty well. The last day he got done for a little bit of toe and when they quickened and ended up staying on really well and just getting beaten a short head. Just think the step up and trip will really suit him. And I thought he'd be tough enough to beat and still probably well enough handicapped off 1-2-8.
Smashing, that's the TV action done. Let's see what else the lads fancy on Saturday. We've got Nace, Kelso and Southall for you flat fans. Kiehl's, what have you got for us?
I've got anything. I've got plenty on, I've got a few on Sunday, but I've got nothing else that really caught me on Saturday.
That's absolutely fine. I'm sure you've got nothing as well, DJ.
I have a few, yeah.
Go on then, rattle through them.
Yeah, very quickly. A really good card at Naas. The 12:30 is the Grade 3 Fishery Lane Hurdle. It was a race that was won by Jeski a couple of years ago before winning the Champion Hurdle. And I thought this Tiger Tap Tap could have a decent enough season last season. Things didn't go right. Too keen towards the latter stages of her juvenile career. So Tiger Tap Tap in the 12:30 in the Poplar Square Chase. At 105, Silas Emery returns to action for Willie Mullins with Duke to Geneva running on Sunday. So I thought Silas Emery, the form of his beginner's chase victory has worked out extremely well. Impact Factor was second. I think it's rated 140 something. Duke to Geneva was third, won the Arkell. And fourth was the horse of Elmery Holden's Expatriate, who's rated in the 140s as well. So that form has worked out really well. In the 140 at Naas, the Brown Lad Handicap Hurdle. I thought Monlino was very interesting here for Paul Nolan. Has finally got his ground, needs a bog. It's soft to heavy at Naas, so I thought he'd take a bit of beating. And there's a really, really good beginner's chase that's been won by Road to Respect and Road to Riches over the years. That's a 325. Mellon, I was hoping to run here, but runs at Navan on Sunday instead. And it's interesting, Get a Reason runs here for Willie Mullins. But Paul Townend's on Tornado Flyer, who I think will make a much better chaser than Hurdler. So Tornado Flyer in the 325 for me.
Lovely stuff. Well done, DJ. I like it when you say very quickly. You don't cut out the number of words you're going to say. You just say them even quicker. But it gets us through the day. James, what do you like away from the glare of the ITV cameras?
Yeah, I'll just mention one more there from Naas in the 12 o'clock in the first race. Black Bow makes his return after nearly, you know, a year and a half off. So he'll be just fairly interesting to follow as well. And he could have a big year ahead of him over the Morris Stain trip, I'd say, towards the end of the year.
Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings.
Mine, Bruce, is going to be Gimme a Copper in the 3:35 at Wincanton.
James Ryan.
The 150 Wincanton, Littoral C.
And Kiehl's, what are you going to go for?
Yeah, I like Rosie World in the 240 at Aintree.
Great stuff. There's some really cracking action in Ireland and at Sandown on Sunday. We'll preview that next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Power's James Ryan. We will get to a really high-class race at Sandown in a bit. But before that, let's look at the races at Navan because there's some really big names out there and also some potential stars. We will look at the 105 first. It's the Liz Mullen Hurdle over 2.5 miles. James, how did Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, Apple's Jade is our 3-10 favourite, followed by Bacardi's 5-2, Magic of Light 12-1, and then 66-1 bar.
DJ, do we take on the Great Mare?
No, this is her time of year. Take her on in March, take her on in April at Punch's 10. This is the time when she's alive. She kind of just bullies horses this time of year. Like, she'll go off out in front, she'll jump well, and she'll go a pace, a gear quicker than these horses are kind of used to coming back. You know, usually in November and October, you get horses that just want to get a nice, kind of comfortable run around. She'll be going a stride quicker. She'll take them out of their comfort zone and she'll win convincingly. I think this is probably a race to be doing distance betting on because I think she could win by a big, big margin here. And we'll soon forget how poor she is in spring.
The thing is, you say that, okay, but if you remember a breakthrough year, her absolute best form came at Cheltenham and then that stunning win at Aintree. So are you absolutely certain about this time of year form with her?
Different trainer, I suppose. That'd be the key thing there. It used to be Willie that time. So with Gordon now, I think she's much fitter starting the seasons each year. I just think the ground and everything with her, I hate the way she's tailed off the last couple of seasons. But these are her races. This race, the Hatton's Grace, and probably the race at Christmas, and she might get away again with something like the Irish Champion Hurdle, but this should be a penalty kick.
Do you agree, James?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a sit back and watch from my point of view, just as in the fact that she did finish off the last season so badly, and sometimes, you know, mares, when they do tail off, they won't actually get their form back. So it's more a sit back and watch for me, but I'd love to see her come out and absolutely bolt up and kind of get the hype machine going again coming up to Christmas.
Kiehl, sit back and watch or sit back, bet and watch?
No, just sit back and watch. She'll win when she's different class to those. She can afford to be some way below form. I mean, that one run at Cheltenham was bad, but, you know, I mean, okay, she wasn't, you know, the form she was showing when she was winning by miles would have won most champion hurdles over the last 20 years. She dropped a level below that in the spring, but still good enough to beat these other than the Champion Hurdle Run, so she'll win.
Okay, the 210 is the Tote.com Fortria Chase. It's over 2 miles, and James, take it away with the show.
Yeah, no, this is a belter of a race. Duke de Geneva is our 11-8 favourite. A Plutard 11-8, Ballyocean 5-1, Hardline 8-1, and Dr. Phoenix is 20-1.
And who wins it, James?
I think a Plutard wins this. He's getting £8 from, you know, Duke de Geneva and Hardline, and getting £9 from Ballyocean. I just think the stiff track at Navan will really suit him. So it looks like it's a cubby bit on the short side over 2 miles, but just the way Navan rides, you know, it's nearly a 2 mile two course, the way the stiff uphill finish. And with that extra weight allowance, you know, I just think that'll be hard enough to overturn. I can see him going off clear favourite towards as the day kind of gets a bit closer. But he's the one I'm going for here.
Have you got a strong view here, Kills?
I've got a strong view, but I thought Duke de Geneva was a bit of a fluke at Cheltenham. So I'm not convinced about that form. A Plutard, you've got beat in Grade One Company after running in a handicap. I might take a chance on Ballyocean. It tends to be pretty straight first time up. I think might have won the race last year. That'd be good for me, yeah. There's odds on in the race last year. 5-1 this time, I'll have a go at that.
Should be some race this DJ, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I have a theory on this race, Bruce, and Bruce or Keels, as I think he's got it spot on. This is Ballyocean's champion chase, if you know what I mean. This is the day when he's going to be at his best, where I think Aplutar and Duke de Geneva, you know, their targets lie later on in the season, and it's their first run back. Ballyocean has been busy over the summer and the autumn, run over hurdles and fences. And I just think when you go through his Navan form, I think a real stiff jump and test, when he gets into a rhythm and he starts pinging them out in front, he will get everything in trouble like he did last year. Like, he beat Ordinary World 23 lengths in the race last year. Ordinary World has some good form. I think if Mark Walsh pops Ballyocean out in front, if he jumps the first couple well, I think he's going to be very, very hard to catch because he's got race fitness on his side. I'm really sweet on him on Sunday.
Okay, the 225 at Sandown is not a race to miss. It's the Virginbet Future Stars Intermediate Chase. 3 miles, it's always a tiny field. We've only got four this time, but there's usually some absolute corkers in there. Mike Byatt and Konigree have won it in recent years. And we've got some really big names this time. James, how do you bet?
Yeah, Santini is our 4-11 favourite. Talk is cheap as 3-1. Now McGinty 12s and Steely Edition 12s.
Are you going to get stuck in on a betting front here, Kills, or just look and learn?
I think I'll look and learn. I think Talk is Cheap probably doesn't want the ground as soft as it'd like to be at Sandown. Won't be that bad on the chase track, having said
good
that.
It's soft at the moment, and it's not that much
heavy
forecast.
On that hurdles track, isn't it? Like, you know, so it probably won't be that bad. I think it's pretty decent. Obviously, he won a Bet365 Gold Cup. Santini's very, you know, obviously a very good horse. I have my concerns that he's going to end up a bit slow for a Gold Cup. We'll have to wait and see. I certainly wouldn't be touching him at 4-11 first time up there.
Okay, DJ, what's your view of this one?
Yeah, it's really interesting. As you say, the small field every year, like, do trainers like talk to each other and say, oh, well, look, Santini's running here, so you probably, you know, it seems to be always the case. There's one good horse in the race every year. I just find it really strange. But anyway, yeah, I think Santini will win. I just think he's a better horse than Talk is Cheap. And I thought he was a Gold Cup contender. Like, people are ruling him out based on the Delta Work run and the top of the game run at Aintree afterwards. But to me, looking at that race again, he could turn out to be the best of those this season, especially with top of the game out. So you'd just be hoping it's a smooth round of jump. And I think he's a very, very good horse.
Yeah, I mean, when they crossed the line, those three in the RSA last year, I thought, blimey, these three could be really, really dominant in years to come. And obviously Santini now, we've got to see what he's made of. What do you think he is made of, James? Will he win this?
Yeah, I think he should definitely be up to winning this. Should be fairly solid, and you'd just love to see him get a clean round of jumping in and kind of go forward from there for the rest of the year. He's 8-1 for the Gold Cup at the moment, and you can't imagine him probably being cut too much shorter than that, even if he absolutely bolts up here. So it probably is one for just a little bit later on the season before that price kind of goes, if he does end up winning well here. But yeah, I think it'll be very hard to beat on Sunday.
Okay, let's see what else the lads fancy on Sunday. We've got the rest of the Navan, rest of the Sandown, and there's a card at Foss last. Kills has already told us he fancies a few, so we'll leave him till last. DJ, what have you got for us?
In the 245, the handicap hurdle, I thought Camino was really interesting for Paul Nolan, who's having a great time with things over the last couple of weeks. Sean O'Keefe takes off £7. Camino was beaten at Fairy House last time, trying to exploit a lower hurdles mark, but he's only rated 109 over hurdles. He's rated 137 over fences. And basically, the fact that jockeying claimed £7 means he's chucked in here. So Camino in the 245, and just one to watch in the 135, the maiden hurdle. This Andy Dufresne has been impressing everybody in Gordon's, owned by JP, won a bumper last season. Mark Walsh takes the ride. He's up there with their best novices, so it's going to be interesting to see what Andy Dufresne can win in the 135.
Who was Andy Dufresne, DJ?
Shawshank Redemption.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's see if he manages to get out of jail. Who do you like, James?
Yeah, just so Andy Dufresne is going to be very interesting. He's currently 33-1 for the Albert Bartlett, which is probably that won't last, I'd say, if he wins impressively. The 315 in Navan, Mellon is making his chase and debut against Fakir Dudery, and that should be a better of a race to watch. So more just a kind of a watch and brief for the rest of the card at Navan, but it's a really, really good card, and you know everyone should nearly be watching because there'll be clues there for the rest of the season.
Great. It's a good weekend, this, Kills, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and the Sandown card's pretty decent as well. First jumps... meeting of the season. In a 115 top weight, Champagne Court, trained by Jeremy Scott, whose horses are running well, was second over hurdles to Flash of Steel at Chepstow recently in a good race. Comes out, goes straight over fences. That was another career best. He was fourth in the Martin Pike last year. I think he's probably got a good career ahead of him over fences. In the 255, Totterdown, won over course of distance last year off a pound lower mark. Absolutely doing handsprings for Richard Phillips. Lost his form a little bit after that, but got a big drop of £5 for his last run. He's now only £1 above that mark, and he's moved to Fergal O'Brien, who can't seem to train a loser at the moment.
Oh, he's, and why take him out of Richard? Poor old Richard Phillips.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he may have been sold out of it. He may have just been moved or whatever. Doesn't, you know, it's neither here nor there to me. But he's extremely well handicapped and with a trainer in good form. Likes the track, loves the ground. Got everything going for him. So he'll go well. And then and then we go move later on the card. And what have we got? Veterans Chase.
Oh, here we go.
You know, and a really competitive one as well. And may seem daft, but I'm going to go for the complete old boy, Loose Chips, who's 13 now, won this in 2016 off a mark of 137, was third in 2017 off a mark of 142, won it off 130 last year, and is down to 123 now. He was last at Carlisle in his recent reappearance, but he ran well for a very long way. And, you know, he ran in the same race last year before going to Sandown. Sure to, you know, just loves that track, sure to go very well off a very low weight.
Great card, that. It should,
yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Sort of underrated. Yeah. It creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Don't forget, do please bet responsibly all weekend and indeed all the time. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. That includes YouTube and Spotify. What have we got coming up? Maddie is back on Monday with the gang to pick through the action this weekend and look ahead to next week. And what have we got next weekend? Cheltenham, of course it is. 3 days of magical jump racing at Cheltenham. So they'll have some early clues there. We're back next Friday to look at Cheltenham in greater depth and in between times. We've got golf on Wednesday, football on Thursday, loads and loads of podcasts coming up. Keep it right here.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BGambleAware.org.